We heard again the words of St. Paul from our epistle. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. You who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace, mercy, and peace be yours this day in Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, how remarkably convenient it would be if we had the capability to read the minds of other people. You're probably thinking in your head some of those people that you wish you could read their minds. Your spouse, for example. A couple arguments might have been avoided had you known your spouse's mind. If you knew the mind of your children, would have been really helpful when your child is storming off to their room and slamming their door and saying, "Mom and Dad, leave me alone." How convenient it would be to be able to read their mind and know what's going through their thoughts. To know the mind of your coworkers, your boss, your supervisor, your manager, whoever it may be. How remarkably convenient it would be to be able to read and know the mind of others. What about the mind of God? Would it be convenient to know what's going through his thoughts? Perhaps it'd be nice to know what's going through that mind of the divine. Maybe on the other hand, though, it might be rather terrifying, especially in regards to your sin and the brokenness of this world that we have contributed to know what exactly God thinks about you when you sin and break his law. As convenient it might be to know God's mind, we just simply can't know. Paul makes it rather clear in our epistle today, especially as we celebrate and observe this feast of the Holy Trinity, as we remember and rejoice in the gift of God's presence to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, working in and through his creation and for you and I, all humanity. There are just many things that we do not know and cannot simply comprehend about our God. As Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. And we see that throughout the scriptures. There are just things that humanity throughout the course of human history just cannot begin to fathom and understand about our God. We simply just cannot know everything that is on God's mind, because the truth and the reality is this: God is God and you and I are not. He is creator and we are just merely creation. But the beautiful thing about the mind of God, even though it is unreachable and it is unfathomable, especially as we described him in the Athanasian Creed, which to you might seem rather redundant. There's not one, three gods, three lords, but one God, one Lord, and it just seems to ramble on and on. But it describes perfectly who God is, and he's beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. But one beautiful thing is given to us here through Scripture this day that gives us a beautiful snapshot view into the mind of who God is and how he thinks towards you and me. And it's taken from our gospel reading today, a very familiar gospel reading from John chapter 3, where in the context we see Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders of the Jews, coming to Jesus late at night to hear from Jesus, to learn more from this rabbi, to see what he's all about. And in the midst of their baptismal conversation, Jesus telling him, you must be born of water and the Spirit again. In the midst of Nicodemus' confusion and seeking clarification from Jesus, Jesus speaks the beautiful words that are very familiar to us. The gospel in a nutshell. The very view into the mind of God and what he is thinking about you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is what is on God's mind. This is what God is ultimately thinking in regards to you. Yes, indeed, God is just. God hates sin. God desires to punish sin and the wicked evildoer. But his mind, first and foremost, is set upon love. What's going through his thoughts is his love for you and all of humanity and all of creation. His heart and mind is set upon sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to give up his own life for you so that you would be saved and forgiven, so that you would be redeemed and restored back to the Heavenly Father, that your hearts and minds would be filled with his Holy Spirit, power, and life, so that you would come to believe and know Christ and to know the great love that God the Father has for you. This is what is on God's mind, ultimately, and always. This is who God is. God is love. And his love is endless and abundant and overflowing and ever flowing to you and for you. And so if this is what's on God's mind, what about you, O church? What is on your mind? Or as we celebrate, as we focus on the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and as we focus on God's mind being set on love, the church, you and I, are called to be an example of Christ in the world in which we live. As John says elsewhere in his epistles later on to the New Testament church, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And Paul elsewhere in his epistles calls the church to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is to be set on the things of God, to be like God. As Paul reminds the Galatians in chapter 6, he gives to them the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things are the mind and personality of God. This is who God is. This is how God thinks. And the church, you and I, are called to be just like him. And not just called, God demands and requires the church to be the example of Christ in the world, and how we think, and how we speak, and how we act. But as we look around in the world in which we live, we don't often see that, do we? We see violence and hatred and discord. We see it on our streets. We turn on the news this past week. It's all over the streets. In Congress, in our neighborhoods, in our churches, where the church is called to be an example of love, rather we see hatred and division and discord. But as the church, that's not who we are called to be in the world. As God has selflessly loved us and set his mind on loving you through his Son, Jesus Christ, the church is called to be different in the world in which we live. Where you see violence, the church goes out and sows seeds of peace. Where we see discord and disagreements, the church steps out into the world, seeking reconciliation, seeking to restore the gaps and the divides that the world around us has created, to restore it back again to one another. Where we see hatred and anger being displayed out in our streets, you and I as the church are called to go out into the streets and to preach and share love with one another. As we are reminded of the mind of God this day, you and I as the church are called to be different, to live differently, to act and speak differently in the world in which we live and in our interactions, not just together here at St. Mark, but with one another out in those streets, in our communities and neighborhoods, in our places of work, throughout the entire world. God calls us to live differently, to have our minds be different than the rest of the world. So that as you and I go out into the church and go out into the world might see and know who God is. For the love of Christ is pouring forth through you as the Holy Spirit works in your hearts and minds to live and act differently in the midst of others. So that others in the world might see our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and know exactly who He is. For indeed, even though our God, His thoughts and His mind and His ways are unsearchable, unfathomable, inscrutable, how vast they are. What Scripture reveals to us through God's holy word is sufficient for us to know how God thinks. And God's thought process is set on love for you. May we as the church live that love, know and experience that love as we continue to gather as His people here at St. Mark, but then as we leave this place, go and confidently live that love out towards others so that the outside world might see that love and know exactly the God that you and I worship, the same God that we know together because of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that He has revealed to us through His Spirit. And the preaching and reception of His means of sacramental grace and forgiveness that continues to lead you and I as the church out in love and all that we say, think, and do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and lives in and through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.